This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
An Odyssey station.
Booker to the high post. Outside Durant. Squares for three and drains another. Kevin Durant with a 28-point night in Denver.
But caught that in rhythm, and when he gets rhythm opportunities, he normally knocks those down. Another nice find from Booker.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Two-point game. George finds Coffee. Coffee tied up to Kawhi Leonard. Lamps. That's it in, and the foul.
Terrific play and recognition and awareness by Kawhi Leonard to make that 45 cut in.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Career high is 31. They push Green out. Green keeps the ball in his hands. Tough shot from three. And Jalen Green with his 7-3.
Whole lot of offense here in overtime.
Green right through the defense. Shows the athleticism.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Good morning, happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Well, in the latest edition of Sounds About White, I would like to officially announce that I subscribed and got my Oregonian delivery set up.
Look at you, you old man.
I got MLB extra innings set up. Happy opening day.
You're drinking coffee, you're reading newspapers, there and you're watching baseball.
It is, and I live in Damascus.
It is
the whitest possible thing I could do is reading a newspaper with baseball on.
Yes.
In, you know, the small town that I live in.
I'm trying to think what else on, like, white guy bingo can you hit? Because those are pretty big ones to check off the list.
You guys are making me regret something right now. I didn't get the jersey memo. My Acuna jersey. I know.
What are we doing? We're wearing a sweatshirt with a green shirt on underneath. What is it, St. Patrick's Day?
No.
What's going on over there?
I was trying to be baseball.
Ah, Griffey.
Griffey one.
You got to have a Griffey shirt on.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout-out to John Sakanek. I need to text him. He sent me a GIF. I got it yesterday. He's trying to indoctrinate my kid to become a Mariner fan, which will not happen.
I mean, it's not just him you have to worry about. He has an uncle.
It's not going to happen. I want my kid to grow up happy and not miserable and know what joy is like in life.
Who do you think is happier right now, Giants or Mariners fans?
Giants is not even close. Not even close.
Okay.
Get you three of these. They've never been to a World Series.
It's been a decade.
When was the last time the Mariners did anything relevant?
A couple years ago, they made the playoffs.
Got to the wild card.
Making the playoffs in the modern baseball landscape is not doing anything relevant. So did the Giants. The Giants also, they won 108 games 2 years ago and made the playoffs.
Nobody remembers that.
I don't want my kid to grow up depressed and sad, but he sent we always dig each other about bonds, Griffey, steroids. Like, I'll get into a Twitter argument with John Sakanek once a year probably. About steroids and bonds and all that.
Is that John Sakanek who loved Nelson Cruz?
Yes, and that's my argument every time. You know who's throwing out the first pitch at Mariners opening day?
Probably a roided out guy.
Nelson Cruz.
Is he really?
Boomstick, boomstick.
Of all the people to throw out your first pitch to kick off a year that you might be pretty good team.
Nelson Cruz.
Nelson Cruz?
He's there, man. He's ready to go.
We couldn't get the unit to come back?
That's my argument every time. It's like, you know how many times...
Now the unit works for the Diamondbacks.
He's a photographer down there.
Well, I know he's a sports photographer.
He's also a minor league roving pitching instructor.
And bounces around.
Well, but my point
is... He shows
is,
up to a hops game once a
okay,
year.
Okay, all right. You could have him come back and throw a first pitch and fly his ass out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it's doable. It's manageable. And so he sent a thing about... he sent me like a little Griffey hologram and a little Griffey action figure. And a Mariner glove, and he said, teach your kid, you know, here a letter to Teddy. He said, teach him about Ken Griffey Jr. He did it the right way. And so I just started cracking up. So I got to send him a thank you note because I was laughing my ass off when I opened that.
You should send a picture of Griffey falling asleep in the dugout back to John. Yeah, the right way.
Yeah, quitting on his team, huh? Falling asleep.
He's stealing money, huh?
Not present, not there. All those boomstick tweets, you didn't have a problem with steroids then.
It doesn't happen often at 6 a.m., but I am sitting here right now just looking at both of you, and I'm really pissed off that I did not wear my Acuna jersey.
I got chastised for it last year, so.
What do you mean? Wearing your jersey?
No, I didn't wear my jersey on opening day.
Did I chastise
yes,
you?
Yes, you did.
Were you wearing any Dodger gear at all?
I might have had a T-shirt.
Oh, might have. I'm going to assume I chastised you because you didn't.
I even got my bullpen jacket just in case they'd need me today.
Yeah, bring you out the pen.
You never know, man. Maybe they need somebody pumping 64 miles an hour coming in the seventh inning.
I read about your team. They need all the help they can get.
Hey.
Sorry.
Blake Snell's got multiple Cy Youngs. What are you talking about? Jorge Soler, how was he in the World Series, huh? That's a giant now, bitch.
Well, that was like 3 years ago, so he was great
He's
then.
In the prime of his career. He's still ready to go.
Still has the best home run I've ever seen live.
Out of the ballpark.
Houston. Oh, my God.
See ya.
That was...
It's over. That thing, that was as emphatic of ending of a game in World Series as you can remember.
Oh, it felt so good.
Everybody knows the second the sound that bat and ball makes, like, yeah, this one's over. There's no coming back from that. That's a massive home run.
I gotta be honest. I think because of the way life is and society is, I flip-flopped. I think I might be following baseball a lot this year. It's a slowdown sport.
Yeah.
So you will not hear me complain about the length of the season and the games this year. I think I just need to slow my life down a little bit.
Mm. Yes.
4-hour baseball games, casually watching in my garage, just enjoying my life.
They generally don't go that long anymore. The pitch clock did help.
Yeah, touche. That's a good point.
Speed things up a hair.
Yeah.
So 2:45 from first pitch to final out.
Sure.
I mean, the ultimate best thing, why, if you, like, anybody asks you, why should I be a baseball fan? The ultimate thing is, like, if you love sports, one of the things that sucks is that you don't get to watch your teams that often. Like, if you're a diehard college football fan, you get 12 Saturdays and that's it. Maybe a postseason, maybe a bowl game. That's it. Once a week for like 3 months, then the season's over. The best thing about baseball is that it's on every day.
Yeah.
So if you're a diehard fan of your team, every, like, what time they play today? 4:10. Okay. 7:15, 6:45. There is a game on almost literally every day. Mm. And it's all, like, once this day hits, you know, like, there's a lot of times I get home and I'm bouncing around. You're watching the news. There's a white guy thing watching, like, network news. And you're just like,
NPR.
I'm bored. There's nothing on. There's something that I want to watch that I want to be invested in. And then baseball starts, and that problem is solved for you all the way through August and September.
My game already got canceled.
The Braves aren't playing?
Yeah, two of them got canceled in Philly and in New York.
That's a great way to
the
start.
The Mets and the Phillies. So we were going to have all 30 teams.
Yep.
We got 26 on the docket right now.
Why are we not navigating a schedule? And I know that this can hit in like 3 weeks as well, so you can't avoid
well,
it.
Well, the Brewers were at the Mets. Why you don't play that at Miller Park where you have a roof is
why
silly.
Are you not playing in Atlanta instead of Philly to open the year?
Yeah. We already had opening day.
You guys already did?
Not us, the Braves, no. But baseball already had opening day. It was in Korea. Didn't you see it?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, everybody was watching at 1 o'clock in the morning.
They count, but they don't want to tell you it counts because they don't want to ruin hashtag opening day.
The season has begun, but not really, but kind of.
It's weird to go through this. I was just curious, like, who plays at what time?
And the Angels and Orioles, noon. First up from Camden Yards or Oriole Park at Camden Yards or whatever the hell they call it now.
You see Mike Trout's reaction to Shohei Ohtani being honored in that game the other night?
No.
Oh, go pull up that video.
Oh, is he a little grumpy?
They're doing a little freeway, you know, spring training.
Yeah, they always do that. The last exhibitions are...
They're playing and in Anaheim, Shohei comes up to the plate, and they put, like, a tribute video up on the board for him. Like, thank you, Shohei, whatever, you know, 2022 MVP and all these different things. And he's just kind of awkwardly standing there at the plate waving, and then the camera pans to Mike Trout, who has a look on his face like, why are we doing this? This guy just bolted. Like, I'm still here. Why? What are we doing here, man?
You think he had that thought?
I think he did.
I thought they were friends.
I mean, until you leave in free agency, now he's the only one left. At least they were a two-man team. Now it's back to a one-man team.
Tim Keown writes for ESPN, and he wrote a – or maybe he's The Athletic. I can't remember.
He was at ESPN at one time, yes.
I think he's at The Athletic now. Anyways, he wrote a big piece on Ohtani yesterday and just how isolated he is as a player.
Yeah.
And how it's kind of odd that he doesn't have his interpreter. His interpreter was – you know, as close as one could get. There was a blurb in there where he was asking Tim Keown, he was asking his Angels teammates what they thought of the interpreter, because every single day that interpreter drove Ohtani to the Angels games. They didn't know if they lived together.
Hanging out in the dugout.
Every day. That's all he talked to. It was a coach. It was a trainer. It was an interpreter for him. And he said far and away the most common response he got from Angels teammates was, do they ever fight?
Are they ever angry with each other?
And there's a blurb. I forget the Angels manager. Phil Nevin? Is that the Angels manager?
Take your word for it.
I had no idea. And he basically was like, yeah, you know, I don't even tell him what to do. I just assume he'd just do his own thing. And while he's amazing, it does highlight, like, the incredible talent, you want him on your team, but also, like, a little odd from a team dynamic of this guy is just very isolated.
He's just in his own little world.
Yeah.
There was interesting quotes from Dave Roberts the other day after the firing of the translator. Now they need to find a new guy to pal around with Shohei. And he basically said that it's nice to have communication barriers broken down, and it's like there's not a wall around him anymore. And it was a very interesting and weird quote.
Like he's trying to speak English in the dugout?
I don't know if that – it was just kind of like it's nice to not have him because he was a barrier to Shohei.
He's so basically – yeah, he was like the bodyguard, trainer, coach, slash interpreter.
Is he just on his own now, understanding half of the things that are said to him? Or are they actually going to find him a new one?
I don't know, but I found out that the gal he randomly announced he married
– yeah.
She's a basketball player.
Very normal person.
Like a really, really good basketball player in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So look out for the Ohtani babies in about 20 years.
Oh, that's going to be an athletic baby.
That's going to be a super athletic baby.
That's one of the only things I thought when he was up there lying about not gambling. I thought to myself, just a massive human being.
Yeah.
Like just sitting there, like when you see him next to a normal dude who's like a Dodger employee in communications department, you're like, this guy's like four times the size of
him.
Yeah,
isn't he 6'5"?
He's 6'5".
Massive.
200.
Shoulders are huge.
Some odd pounds.
When we went to that game last year
and
watched, because Ohtani was pitching in that game at the Mariners, I mean, we were sitting in the 200 section, so not bad seats, but not the best. I thought from where we sat, I was like, damn, he's big.
Way bigger than I thought.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Like you knew he was a good-sized dude, and then you see him, and it's like, holy smokes.
You see it in person, and you're like, geez, you're a two-guard.
Somebody said, yeah, but if your team sucks, it's literal torture. That is true.
Yeah.
If your team sucks, by the time you get to July, you stop caring, and you check out on the rest of the year.
Can I lean in and tell you a dirty little secret?
Abandon your team. I mean, I do. If my team sucks, I'm not watching. That's the way I am with the Blazers. I'm not going to abandon, but I'm not watching and paying attention.
So you're just celebrate today because your team's not projected to be very good.
What are you talking
year?
About? They're over. They're going to push for a wild card spot. They missed the playoffs by like three games last year.
I was telling you, I read a couple things yesterday.
Oh, yeah, because those are always right.
Hey, Keith Law knows baseball.
Yeah, he's all in. The prognosticators know exactly what they're doing. You know Joe Lombardi's brackets losing to his dog? The expert of March Madness.
His dog
picked a better bracket
losing
than him.
Losing to Fido.
So why don't you take all these predictions and shove them where the sun doesn't shine?
I had a moment.
Are we still all beating Billis?
I don't know. You haven't updated on the men's.
Yes, we are all still. But I'm going to lose, but we're all still beating.
What do you mean you're
going to lose? My Sweet 16 got ripped apart.
Really?
I'm hanging on because I had a really good opening round, and now it's all going to crumble.
So I don't live with a lot of regret, but yesterday I was going over. All I have is my women's bracket because Dirt took our men's bracket.
Uh-huh.
and I went through my women's bracket. I have 14 of the 16 Sweet 16.
Yeah, the women actually are more chalky than the men, if you can believe
that. That's what I told Dirt. I got 24 of the 32 in the first round, and I am living with a little bit of, should I have thrown $20 into the office pool?
Maybe I would have won.
Probably would be winning right now.
You'd be hanging around.
The difference in athleticism from the best women's teams
to the bottom,
to the 14, 15, 16 is a greater gap than in the men's game.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of 14-3 upsets in the women's tournament.
But that's what makes the Elite Eights and the Final Four in their bracket. Yes. That's what makes it so great, is because it's the top end against the top end.
That
the
best LSU and Iowa get a lot of whistles late.
Yes, they do. And there's not a St. Peter's in the Elite Eight. And everybody's like, who the hell is St. Peter's?
Well, happy opening day to everybody.
Yes. Feels enjoy. Good. Soak it in.
If my team is starting tomorrow, well, I won't be here tomorrow.
Yeah, you're out tomorrow.
That's right.
Can't wear your jersey tomorrow. You can wear it at the beach if you want.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's not quite the same.
We're not going to a big town. We're going to a tiny town.
You walk around in your Braves jersey. That's very white of you. Tomahawk chop people as you go by.
Nobody cares out there.
No, I know nobody cares. So
now, if you had a retro Dale Murphy jersey, then you'd fit right in.
He abandoned the Portland Diamond Project. I'm out.
Yeah, he's a turncoat. Are we still pro Dale Murphy here? He turned his back on us,
he
man.
Did.
He pulled a Pat Chun.
Yeah, he did.
Said, see you later.
Baseball hasn't been kind to Murphy. Isn't he the only, he's one of only two multiple MVP winners eligible for the Hall that's not in?
I think you can make a really good argument that his name gets said more than 28% of the current Hall of Famers anyway.
Because we debate him every year. You forget the guys that go in.
Baseball not been kind to him. I beg to differ, sir. He's been wanted by two expansion groups.
This is true.
And every time we talk baseball, his name will pop up and somebody will say the same thing they've said for 15 years. He needs to be in the Hall. He's the only two-time MVP to not be in the Hall of Fame. You know who's not getting talked about? Insert player that you didn't even know was in the Hall of Fame. I think baseball's been nice enough to Dale Murphy.
There's a few of those guys. Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah, Jeff, that's a great one.
Nobody ever brings up Jeff Bagwell.
You know what I see? I'll occasionally see a Dale Murphy jersey being worn. I don't see Jeff Bagwell being worn.
Well, that's because Dale Murphy is from Portland.
Yeah, I see it in non-Portland markets.
Oh, okay.
I don't see Jeff Bagwell being repped.
Traveling all over the world seeing Dale Murphy jerseys.
Yeah, what are you doing here, Dale Murphy? It's Ronald Acuna. What are we doing?
I'm still upset about that. He turned his back on us, man.
It's an underrated thing that nobody talked. It was the only little thing I would have liked to hear from Barrett when he talked with Isaac and Suk. What happened there?
Where'd Dale go?
I mean, can he play both sides? Like, if we end up getting it, is he jumping back on board? Is he back a part of our group?
Well, I think he's a Mormon.
I mean,
yes,
I get that,
is.
But he's from here.
Yeah, but I think, you know.
The Mormonism outweighs it.
The Mormon state was calling.
Outweighs the hometown.
Yeah, he had to go with his brothers and his sisters. All right, well, good morning. Happy Thursday to everybody. We got a lot to get to today. Ken Barkley's going to hop on at 8 a.m., and we'll try to run through as much as we possibly can.
Lots to gamble on.
Baseball futures. The tournament starts back up tonight. We got some great games tonight. And maybe, just maybe, squeeze in one NFL over-under that he likes. FanDuel released their over-unders. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Did you see that? Because your face kind of looks like, no, I didn't.
I did see that.
Okay, you're excited.
Oh, see, I got the sense that's coming up in the second half of the show.
Oh, that was the kind of, okay, that face was either I didn't see it, but I, wink, wink, did.
I had it in my notes. If you want to get to it, you can.
No, I'll save it for you. Okay. I'm just glad you saw it. Because I love over-unders. I love pretending to know what I think these teams are going to do.
Oh, give and takes in March about NFL teams is fantastic.
And then you abandon it in July.
You totally forget what you even said 3 months ago.
Exactly.
And then I got a new take.
Well, we got a busy show. Let's get it going. We'll start locally. A Delano Banton problem? Question mark? Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, I'll take a shot in the dark here. Did you catch Delano Banton?
I caught maybe 13 minutes of it. Hey. I'll give you 13 minutes.
Yes.
We'll round up. How about we round up to 13?
Yes.
Took a couple of peeks in the first half.
And the foul. Great.
But another then, loss.
Then I got caught up in Lightning Bruins on TNT.
Absolutely.
And then I was watching the Nuggets suck against the Suns for some reason was oddly fascinating last night.
They just had a bad game.
Well, they didn't have Jamal Murray.
Yeah, well, I mean.
That hurts you a little bit. It's amazing people watch this team night in and night out religiously still.
I don't know, like have reactions to it every single game.
I don't get it, man. More power to the sickos out there that want to do that.
I jokingly text Richmond, the homie who does Locked On Blazers, good friend of the show, and I said, hey, give me all the Banton takes. Sean Livingston, Magic Johnson.
6'8".
I need to hear it.
He can score all over the floor.
And I will not say what he responded with, but you can... You can catch an idea of it if you listen to his podcast.
He's got to have a daily podcast about this team. We need to have a party for Mike Richmond when this season's over.
I think that'd be a fun idea on the show. Yeah. After the last game ends, we bring him on and we just throw a party for him. Like, hey, you did it. You got through
just
it.
Just give him like an outlet to talk about North Carolina basketball for 20 minutes, something that he actually enjoys and isn't torture.
Yeah, it's... Yesterday was supposed to be the big Scoot homecoming. He's from Marietta, Georgia, so Atlanta's just up the road, and he had family and friends in attendance, and they interviewed him pregame, and, you know, Chauncey talked about what it was like to go back to Denver when he was drafted by the Celtics for the first time, and he was pretty terrible, and Delano Banton was really good. He career had 31, high. 5-9.
Yeah, career high for him. He was all over the floor. He was dunking, highlights. Every highlight from that game last night was him making some sort of play.
I certainly am not going to fool myself into saying what I think he is going to be or exaggerate anything. He does have moments and glimpses where he does look like a pre-injury Sean Livingston. Now, I don't say that half-heartedly. I know how amazing Livingston was pre that knee injury.
Yes.
But he has moments where it like flashes, like, oh my God, how about Delano Banton, huh?
Here's what I struggle with.
He's not Sean Livingston?
He's not Sean Livingston. First off, we can start there and then continue the conversation. Look, he is 6'8", so he's somebody over the size of 6'4" on the roster. I appreciate that. And for that, I am thankful that the Blazers signed somebody with actual size and length that can handle the rock and score all over the floor.
Wasn't he he was a throw-in swag, right, in the holiday trade? Didn't we get him in that?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a more recent deal. Didn't they just give up like a second-round pick for him at the deadline?
You might be right. Hold on.
He hasn't been here all year. I know that.
No.
Because when I was watching the Blazers, he was not on the team. And when I was on leave, everybody was talking about him. And I thought, who the hell is this new guy?
Deadline deal with Celtics last month. Trailblazers give up a top 50. That's right. The top 55 protected 2027 second rounder. I had somebody say, what does that mean? I'm like, don't worry about it. It
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
It's a bad draft pick. And that's what they'll get. So look, like the size is intriguing. Whenever you get a guy who's 6'8" and can do what he can do, There's something there. He's also in his fourth year in the NBA, and he is doing this on one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yes.
And so when you watch bad teams in the league, this is a dumb statement, but it's like somebody's got to score. Somebody has to be the guy that's going to take a lot of shots, that's going to fill up the box score.
Yes.
Because even NBA teams are still going to get to 90 to 95 points a night. Even if you suck, you're just going to give up 117, which is basically what the Blazers have been the entire year. So that's the hard part. It's like, yeah, there's moments like this where it's fun, but he's also like the perfect guy for a bad tanking team because he's coming in his fourth year saying, I got nothing to lose. I'm shooting the bat. It's like what I tell my nephew. Like every time he touches the ball, just shoot it. Just shoot it, shoot it. Keep shooting it. Keep because the kids don't want to shoot. They always want to pass. It's like, dude, be aggressive. Shoot the basketball.
Oh, God, you're that uncle.
That's what Banton is for this Blazer team. Delano Banton is the guy who just shoots it every time he touches it.
I tell you, as somebody who's coached young children, you are the problem.
Just shoot the ball.
Every parent
quit
of
passing. You had an open look.
Every family member of every player is telling their kid or their nephew or their child, whatever. Shoot the ball!
Look, they're not running any complex pick and roll, you know, schemes to get somebody open. It is unmitigated chaos.
Pass and cut.
Pass and cut. He's running the triangle.
Yeah, third graders run pass and cut in the triangle.
He's got Tex Winter on his bench over there.
Run a wheel. What are we doing?
There's nobody within 4 feet of
you. Motion.
Shoot
pass and screen away. Pass and screen away.
They run the play where everybody clumps around the ball, and then you can't really move or pass it.
I know. You're trying to teach them to understand spacing.
Shaden's going to join him on the road trip.
There's something to look forward to the rest
Yay.
Of the year.
Will you watch?
No.
I'll check out a game of Shaden.
I got Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games. We got opening weekend of the baseball season, the PGA Tour.
I'm waving it. It's official. I'm waving the white flag. Nobody cares.
God. 2 weeks from the Masters.
Nor should we care, but this is where we're at. Shaden being back at least gives the sickos something like that's
the most
massive.
Important Blazer occurrence last night was the Hornets got an unexpected win over Cleveland.
Yep. It was the one thing we talked about going into the post-All-Star break was they were starting to play better basketball. Portland was leaning into the tank even more. And there was a chance you might catch them. And here you are. You're a half game behind. You're only two back of the Spurs.
Yeah.
If, and I know Greg Popovich is good at this, if they decide to play Wimby, there's a shot we could catch them.
Hey, they can win without Wimby.
Yeah, they beat the Suns
the
other day.
It's a good thing this is a deep draft.
I know.
It's a good thing we're going to have a lot of good guys to pick from in the top three.
Hey.
When we fall down to number six in the lottery.
Give me Alex Saar and just hope for the best. The roster construction of this team this summer is going to be fascinating. Who do they trade?
Who wants to stick around? Does Anthony Simons want out?
Yeah.
Is Jeremy Grant going to hang around for another year?
Oh.
The Banton stuff is fun. At least there's somebody for Blazer fans who are still watching on a night-in and night-out basis that's at least putting on good performances. The fact that it's at this point in the year and it's not the guy that you're trying to build around is it's concerning. It's massively concerning.
But you're not naive. He's 19. You didn't think that he was going to come in and did you think he was going to be better than this?
Thought he was going to be better than this, yeah.
Nobody develops 8, 9, and 10 players on a roster like the Blazers.
No, this is exactly what we do. When we fall in love with this guy, now Banton's untouchable because he scored 31 last night, so we can't trade him this offseason. He's the guy. I saw those tweets last night. Rip City, I think we're onto something here. I think we found our guy.
Danny had a Rorschach test where he basically comps Scoot's rookie year to De'Aaron Fox and Darius Garland.
Okay.
Numbers are not that different.
Now, you could also do the same thing with point guards who didn't turn into good players.
You certainly could do that.
Like, we handpicked two guys who ended up becoming good NBA players, and we just assume that will happen. I hope that it does. I'm rooting for Scoot, but I didn't expect him to win Rookie of the Year. I didn't expect him to carry the team. I didn't expect him to average 28 points per game. He's 19 years old.
He's not even a top five rookie in his class.
Is he top 10? Like, I know Kevin O'Connor or O'Connell, Connor of the Ringer.
You're thinking of the Vikings because you're a football crazed lunatic. It's Kevin O'Connor.
Thank you. Kevin O'Connor.
Former friend of the show.
Yes, he used to come on. He did a re-ranking of rookies, and it was not very kind to Scoot.
Where do you have him at?
I'd have to go pull it up again. It was not. He basically labeled him a bust and said it's not.
So did they redraft? Redrafted.
He labeled him a bust?
Labeled him a bust.
Now, bust to me means like, you can't come back. It's over. You suck. You're awful.
Yeah.
Does he mean bust as a season? Because that's an interesting term to be using.
It's a very. I'll try and scroll and find it.
Amen Thompson had 25-12 yesterday, and the Rockets beat the Thunder.
If I remember correctly, he was not in the top 10. And like when you're the third overall pick and a guy that
is he counting Chet too? Because Chet's not in the draft, but he's.
I don't think he counted Chet because it was just a redraft of this last year's rookies. If you're the third overall pick and you've slipped that far and there's 10 guys that you can consider maybe are already better than you, I'm hopeful. I'll try and remain optimistic. He's only 19 years old, so you're going to be patient. They're not going to make a drastic move, but Yeah, I expected and wanted more for sure.
College basketball fast.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Break next on The Fan. Got some college basketball back in your lives tonight. Pretty excited about it. I wanted to get to, before talking about some of the games, and we'll kind of weave in and out with college basketball today because Sweet 16's back. Kyle Smith, who left Washington State, and we had talked about that, like, you know, Wazoo, unfortunately, they became basically a WCC team. He took the Pac-12 job and then conference kind of goes away from under him. He went to Stanford. And, you know, I think we had said, and many people were talking about, like, why Stanford? Stanford's in the ACC, but it's a weird situation. And, you know, Stanford's a great institution, but I think people just thought Kyle Smith, maybe you go to a different team where maybe you can win.
Yeah.
And maybe he can win. He won in San Francisco before he was at Washington State. So he's an idea of how to navigate the Bay Area in general. Something I did not know until yesterday with his press conference, one reason, and I think probably an underrated huge reason, why he chose Stanford was this.
And he put us in touch with, it's Antonio Hardon, who's a Stanford Autism Center. Like I said, hard not to cry, but to have that opportunity for our family, my son, to have maybe more resources, just honored and thankful, and you all get to know Bo soon enough. And also, we'll have another part of our family to mention that he has a very special caregiver. She's going to move down here, and Emily Hoot, and no chance not crying. So you guys will know, and it's a joyous cry, I promise you.
So I admittedly, I did not know the whole Kyle Smith story, and I'm certainly not trying to say it's the only reason, but man, it is an under-the-radar, massive reason probably why Stanford for him. He's in the ACC. That's great. We'll see where they're at in a couple years. I don't know if that's going to last very long.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, it's one of the best schools in the country, and when you have a kid with autism, hey, what can I do to help him? I can coach in the ACC while getting some of the best, you know, medical options to help him in any way possible. Did not know that about Kyle Smith. I thought that was a really cool clip.
It was. You always judge hires based on your lens, your life experience, how you would handle certain opportunities. And I remember when I saw this that he was leaving, we talked about it on the show the other day, I had the same reaction of like, I get that you want a bigger job than Washington State. You don't want to go back to the WCC. And to the conversation we had about Pat Chun yesterday, I don't think anybody has any ill will towards him at all. You get it? Thanks for getting us back to the tournament. You want a bigger job. This isn't the one you signed up for.
And a big thank you to Washington
right,
State
like,
fans.
No hard feelings, dude. You were here for 5 years, and you helped to put the program back on the map. So thanks for that. But I remember thinking, like, of all the places? The ACC might not exist in a year. Who the hell knows what it's going to look like? You're traveling for your conference games. You're going to play Virginia, Virginia Tech, North Carolina. Like, all right, some of them are big matchups. There's some attractive games there, but that's also a lot of travel. You're going to be away from home a lot. And then you hear a line like this, and it's a good reminder that you have no clue what's going on in people's lives, what their priorities are, why they want certain jobs or don't want certain jobs. And I saw that yesterday, too. It was heart-wrenching. You could tell how much he cares about his son, and to get him that level of care at a university like Stanford, you can't say no to that.
Andy Enfield at SMU, though, is one that I'm still kind of like, was that a Shaka Smart, gonna get fired, so let me get ahead of it, or SMU threw him a bag that USC couldn't match?
I read that as SMU threw him a bag, and they are desperate to get after it in the ACC and not.
Can I ask the question? Is that even a good hire? He's been wildly disappointing at USC.
You think he's been wildly disappointing?
Before this
didn't
year,
they make Elite
Eight? They got what?
One trip to the Elite Eight in 12 years at USC.
Do you view okay
with in the LA market?
Yeah.
LeBron James's kid.
Do like, you view you? I'm not trying to make an excuse for this year. This year was exceptionally bad. And also, by the way, tax free state Texas. Like he's going to Dallas. He's got to get a nice setup. Do you view USC basketball in that light? Because I never really have. They largely have not been good most of my life.
Most of our lives, no. But if you're in Los Angeles with...
Isn't this like the Arizona in football thing? Like, why is Arizona State not better? Their chicks are hot! And they're like never very good.
Yeah. And is they're a football school.
Is it the same? Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Is this like football school only type of deal?
I mean, if you'd said when he was hired coming off of that run at Florida Gulf Coast that he was going to be there for basically a decade and have one serious tournament run.
How many times did he make the tournament?
He made three in a row before this year, I thought.
Before this year, they lost in the first round each of the last 2 years.
Yeah. And then they got the Elite Eight with the Mobley Bros.
He had in 11 years, he had five tournament runs. Only twice did he win a game in the tournament.
Mm.
Three times he was out in the first round, one time they lost in the second round, and then the Elite Eight run. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe the expectations are USC or just be relevant and get us in the dance. But it's hard for me to get the taste of this year out of my mouth. Like, they brought in a massive recruiting class.
They got a couple transfers.
Like, this was supposed to be a kids. And anybody, like, I didn't watch a ton of college hoops. Whenever I watched USC, the only thought I had was, how are they not better than this?
I know.
Like, every time I'd see them play, it's like, there's a lot of talent on this team. And I know Bronny wasn't quite maybe the prospect that some thought coming out of high school, but maybe the expectations were fine. I viewed this as SMU offering him a big paycheck and USC saying, okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
That's kind of, yeah.
We're not going to, we're not paying. What are we paying you for?
I am wondering if there's a shock of smart element of this of like, wait, you're leaving USC for SMU?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if he sucked again, he was going to get fired.
Now you got to go coach in the ACC, a harder basketball conference with a bigger uphill putt.
Yeah, but coaches like that conference. That's a really good
Is it harder than the Big Ten?
I would argue it is. Am I wrong on that?
I would say
you have Duke, Carolina.
I think the bottom of the ACC is a little softer than the bottom of the Big Ten.
But a couple of those programs, like what if Damon does get Georgia Tech turned around a little bit? Like, I think there's some teams at the bottom that can come up.
Yeah, we still have to deal with UNC Duke. Virginia is boring but relevant every year. Wake Forest had a pretty good year this year. Clemson's on a tournament run. I don't know what that means long-term for them. Louisville's down, but Louisville won't be
down
forever. Like, they'll be back and breathing at some point.
Did you see they almost hired another Petito?
Did they really?
They almost hired his kid.
Oh, did they? After his getting New Mexico in? Richard
so
Pitino?
They should. Why not?
They were going to go get a Dick Pitino.
Yes.
A Dick Pitino in Louisville where they had a brothel at one point with his dad.
Does that one last longer than 7 seconds?
I believe it would.
Okay.
The report was that they were basically on the front door of that hire, and I don't know what happened, if it was because of the name and the history recently. They hired Charleston's coach, and everyone's like, what? Charleston's?
You had a Pitino right there in your grasp, and you said no? I'd go back and get Rick. Why not? Guy won a national championship there.
Did he get hit with a show cause?
We've
like, would they be allowed to do that?
He's coaching college hoops again. There's no way that still applies.
Is it a Louisville-only show cause? No, like, okay, if you're ever back
I don't think that would fly with the Board of Trustees.
Bring the brothels back.
Really?
Let's return it to glory.
You don't think that Board of Trustees would say, oh, Kenny Payne was one of the worst hires in the last 20 years?
They were 8-24.
They were so bad.
The University Board of Trustees, there are some non-athletic people on that would...
Isn't Papa John's on that board of trustees? He's all for it.
That's a good poll question. If you're a Louisville fan, were you secretly hoping they hired Rick Pitino back? Because I would have been.
Yes!
I'm not going to lie. It's disgusting. I know. I'm sorry.
Dude, I don't care anymore. Nobody has any standards or morals. Who cares? Brothels, sleeping with chicks in bathrooms. Just win, baby.
Let's talk about a couple of those games.
Sure.
I will dive in at 7 a.m. with the most exciting possible news you could hear in your lives. But coming up next, a couple of the games. Let's get a little peekaboo at some of the games tonight. We'll do that next. Certain Sprague on the Fan. Happy opening day to everybody. Talk about some of that coming up. Ken Barkley.
Baseball stuff!
Hell yeah, brother. Ken Barkley at 8 a.m. today. Are we excited for the Sweet 16? It's one of those usual times of the calendar year where we go, can you believe they take like a week off and then they ramp it back up?
It's only 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I don't like how late the games are.
It doesn't feel weird to you? I mean, I know they've been doing this a long time, but I've always felt
I don't know why they flipped, because you have tonight's the West and the East, and the LA game is first at 4.
Makes no sense.
Who's going to get there for that? And the last game, scheduled for 7:10, likely not to tip till 7:30 Pacific's in Boston.
It's a 10:30 tip in Boston.
I don't know what they're doing.
I saw, like, people on the East Coast have been ranting and raving about this, of like, How? What? What are we? Why? What? Huh? The first game for them doesn't start till after 7 o'clock.
I don't.
The last game will start at 10:30 at night.
With as much as they pay, I don't know why they can't work this out.
I just think within the modern hybrid workforce that we have, people on the West Coast will be accepting of 2 o'clock. Like, we do it on the opening 2 days of the tournament.
Yeah,
like,
why are you not playing that first Boston game at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific?
Yes, move it all up.
Stagger them out a little bit more.
Clemson, Arizona, 4:09 p.m. CBS LA.
Yeah.
Who's going to get there in LA for a 4 o'clock tip?
Well, hold on. Let me.
Other than the team fan. Like,
but that's it. That's who. Because that's who's largely going to be at this game. It's going to be the fan bases.
I mean, especially in Los Angeles. Like, you're just not going to get a random riff-raff fan coming in to watch Clemson.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know the schedule for every state, but I would imagine this week's a pretty popular week for spring break, so I could see some of these fan bases, hey, we're off, let's take 3 days, and we'll fly to the city where our team is, and that's our spring break.
Yeah, we hang out and watch it. That's
With you, though, by the way. Sorry to interrupt you, Dirt, but I agree with you, Swag, on the TV scheduling of this. It's idiotic, but to answer, like, who's going to go, I think the fan bases will be there.
Well, Arizona fan base is large, but still, that arena is, what, 20,000?
Might be 23.
Yeah, it's a big arena.
Crypto? Clemson fans will be there. Clemson, the football team sucked. They don't have anything right now.
This is all they got.
This is all they have, man.
This is it. I know I say it differently earlier in the tournament.
Eldon Campbell in the front row.
I should. I wish that the games were consecutive. You start one at like 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever time you got to start.
Yeah.
And just play that game. If it's bad, we'll change the channel, see what else is on. It's opening day. That's
fine. You
can
have a little overlap. I don't mind that, but yeah, stretch it out a little bit.
Because you got about 20, 30 minutes in between tip-offs of these games, and so you're kind of in the second half, and I have the ability to do two screens, but it's also a day where baseball's starting and there's other stuff you want to keep your eye on. So that's my only complaint. I got to admit to you, I'm not very interested in the first two games.
Clemson, Arizona?
I'm real interested in that.
Okay. I don't really buy Clemson. Like, it's an 8-point spread. I think it's one of the biggest spreads of the Sweet 16. And maybe Arizona falls on their face. It's Arizona, so maybe I'm not giving Clemson enough credit.
Yeah.
I don't think San Diego State has a chance in hell of beating UConn.
That's the one that I think will get out of control.
Not happening. Bama, North Carolina, I'm excited for because I got North Carolina winning the title, and Alabama has looked pretty feisty and good in the first two games.
I don't know, and not that we need to go over individual brag. I think I have Alabama in this one, but
I'll pull it out.
I'm not 100% sure.
I got Carolina in the title game. So.
And then the last game I think is going to be great. Illinois has kind of been a surprise to me. I didn't watch any of them during the regular season. Shocker. And Iowa State's a fun team to watch. So I'm excited for this for the later half of the schedule, the first two games. Maybe Clemson, Arizona.
The last game, I think, has the potential to be the best game.
Well, it's a massive game. I mean, I have Iowa State winning the whole enchilada. They get bumped tonight. Illinois is good. They got athletic players, man.
Illinois has got one of everything on their roster.
They do. They're a sneaky team in this tournament. I am a little surprised to hear you say you're not excited at all for Clemson, Arizona, because everything you say about Clemson, how real is this? That's a fair thing.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona's, I mean, largely for a real long stretch here, perennial choke artist of a team.
I'll give them credit, though. They haven't done, I mean, to this point, they've looked pretty damn good.
They need to win this game. I agree with you. They have looked good, but like, they're a two seed and they're Arizona. They should be winning your first two rounds. This is where you get judged. Tommy Lloyd, Sean Miller, fill in the blank of all the other coaches post Lute Olson. This is how they get judged, is this game tonight. And if they lose to Clemson in the Sweet 16,
oh, it's a disaster.
Yeah, Arizona fan is just hoping that the Caleb Love 2-for-19, I'm going to shoot everything.
Yes.
Game doesn't appear.
Yes.
Because that's what they're all fearful of.
Tommy Lloyd's first 2 years would be getting bumped in round one by a 15 seed and then losing in the Sweet 16 to a 6.
Yeah.
Not that he's not going to be great or ever win. It just is Arizona fans going to go, we consider ourselves a blue blood. And we haven't won since, well, we've only have one in the whole run of this thing. And we don't get to a lot of Final Fours and Elite Eights lately.
They've not been to a Final Four.
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Since 96, 97 when they won the championship.
That is insane.
I'm trying to scroll through. I don't think a handful of Elite Eights, obviously. Lute Olson went to more Elite Eights. We know Sean Miller got to a couple of Elite Eights.
Elite Eight for me, no matter what program you are, is like you want to win it. And sometimes if your team's overly stacked, it can be disappointing. I think most of all the fan bases say, okay, Elite Eight, if we lose, that's still a great year in Elite Eight.
Yeah. You won three games in the tournament.
Yeah. I think it depends on who you are and what you've done recently.
Certainly.
Like, if you're, like, Oregon State getting to an Elite Eight is a, that's a massive success.
That might as well be a national championship.
Yeah, like, well, Mike, where did that come from? Out of nowhere. This is incredible. And it's a year you'll never forget. Like, if Arizona gets again to the Elite Eight and loses, I think you say the same thing. Like, we've done that how many times since 1996?
But UNC losing today to Alabama in the Sweet 16, massive disappointment.
Sure, but UNC has championships.
No, I know.
Multiple since Arizona last even played for one.
They also have a couple of fifth-year seniors on that team,
Yeah, that's a stacked team. They have a lot of experience.
And they played for the title a couple of years ago.
I saw this stat, and I'm glad this kind of came back around because I'd forgotten to write it on today's show sheet. I had it on yesterday's. Did you see the average age of North Carolina is older than the Oklahoma City Thunder? They're like 22.6 years old, and Oklahoma's 22.4.
I mean, they're kind of
they are older than the Thunder. That's crazy.
It's a good story for modern college hoops, though, because it's got, like, guys sticking around for NIL money and playing another year of college hoops.
Yeah.
Like, Baycott's been on how many tournament runs now? He's a reckon. I know that guy. How many? I go into the tournament most years knowing two players. He's at least one that I know.
Yeah.
And he's had a good career. He's back again, mainly because of NIL. So I kind of like that.
I will say, of excitement, I think Illinois-Iowa State, best game. I think Bama-North Carolina could be a real juicy one. So that'll be my two. Clemson-Arizona is a very close number three. And far and away, I think we all in agreement. San Diego State-UConn is not exciting in any way. And I would be delighted to be wrong if San Diego State can keep this close.
That's a game that you check the score at halftime. Where are we at? Are we tight? Is it nervous? Or do we need to watch the second half?
Yeah, that's a fair thing to say.
In first half, I'm not tuning in.
We'll dive a little bit more into some of the tournament stuff later on. Ken Barkley again at 8 a.m. Loaded second hour. Happy opening day. Dirt and Sprague, hour two on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.